jumper on the way. He hits, and it's a three. It's a franchise record, 54 for Karl Anthony Towns.
Wolfscast, audio on demand.
Gibson struggling to get it in. Finds Wiggins. Andrew around a town screen. Inside of midcourt. Launches the three. At the buzzer. Banks it in. Andrew Wiggins has won it at the buzzer. Lobs it up ahead. Tyus rises up and slams it with the right hand. Taj Gibson with a defensive play of the game. It's over. It's over. Celebrate, Wolves Nation.
Welcome into another episode of Wolvescast Audio on Demand. John Folkey alongside Cal Soderquist here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. And coming up on this episode, Timberwolves were out in the community. We'll tell you about their Holiday Shopping for Kids event, which is an incredible event put on by the Timberwolves Fast Break Foundation. Plus, we will catch up with James Nunnally, who received quite an honor from his high school when the Wolves were out on their most recent road trip out to the West Coast. When they faced off with the Kings in Sacramento. So all of that is still to come. But first, Cal, let's take a look back at the week that was. And, you know, we'll start with that overtime game against Detroit. And just what a wild game it was. Minnesota down by a dozen. They rally all the way back, take a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, end up giving up 40 fourth-quarter points to Detroit, and the Pistons force overtime. They win that one in overtime. I think a couple of things that jump out. Number one, rebounding from a tough start, I thought was very good for Minnesota. It's good to see. But the other thing that's disturbing is 20 made three-pointers for the Detroit Pistons. You think back to that West Coast trip, 19 threes to Golden State, 19 to Sacramento. Now you give up 20. Defending that three-point line is becoming an issue here for Minnesota.
I think so, and it was something, too, that Minnesota had done fairly well, I think, throughout the course of the season up to now. So hopefully it's just a blip, just an anomaly, because it's something that, while the defense has been up and down, it's been somewhat consistent, and it's a big reason why Minnesota has had some success defensively in terms of limiting what your opponent does. And whatever Minnesota can do from the three-point line, I think, helps bridge that gap a little bit.
You know, and it's interesting, too. Coach Tibbs has talked a number of times after games like that Detroit game where you've got to recognize who's got the hot hand, and you've got to make that adjustment to them. And I think that's something that, for the most part, Minnesota does well, but you're not expecting some guys like Andre Drummond to knock down a three, Reggie Bullock to go off and connect on seven. And so as you're still shading towards some of those prolific three-point shooters, some of these other guys are getting some good looks, and I think that's an adjustment that Minnesota's going to have to make. The other thing, when we think about the Wolves back out on the road, of course, we know about their road struggles, but the thing that really stands out is the fact that their defense is so good at home. Their defensive rating at home is ninth in the NBA. When they go on the road, that defensive rating drops to 27th. And, you know, we talked about the three-point defense, but there's got to be some other areas there where Minnesota can figure some things out that are successful at home that they can bring on the road to try and bring that overall defensive rating up.
And the other thing, too, is I think sometimes you're just going to have nights like that overtime loss where, like you said, the Andre Drummond shot, the Blake Griffin. I mean, if you're going to lose, at least it was a thrilling way to lose. Yeah. I know the team won't say that, but from a fan perspective, both sides were making shots down the stretch. I mean, they combined for 66 points in that fourth quarter alone. Robert Covington came alive in a big way with some clutch triples specifically. So I enjoyed it, and I'm sure the team has found areas that they can clean up in terms of those open looks, but also some of them, guys just knocking down tough shots. Reggie Bullock, Andre Drummond come to mind.
Yeah, and it's funny when you think about rallying back from down 12. It would have been the third largest comeback of the season, but building a 14-point lead and losing it, it's the second largest blown lead of the season. So a wild one against Detroit and Minnesota trying to get back on track here as they are out on the road in the midst of a three-game road trip. We'll take a quick timeout. Still to come, we'll go holiday shopping for kids with the Timberwolves and the Fast Break Foundation. But coming up next, one-on-one with James Nunnally, right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The Timberwolves are back, and so is College Night, presented by U.S. Bank. For select home games, college students can get upper-level tickets for $10 by using a valid .edu email address online. Visit timberwolves.com/college for more info. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Wolvescast continues. John Folkey with you here. Still to come, Cal Soderquist will rejoin me. We'll go three in the key, take a look at the upcoming slate of road games for Minnesota, and will go out in the community with the Wolves, who are celebrating the season of giving earlier this week. But first, when Minnesota was out on the West Coast, California native James Nunnally given quite the honor at his high school in Stockton, California. He recently sat down with Alan Horton to discuss that and his journey to the NBA.
James, we were in Sacramento the other night. We had an off night, and you got honored by your high school, Weston Ranch. You got your jersey number 21 retired there. What was that experience like?
It was a great experience. I was happy with the outcome and how everything was put together, and all the love that was in the building. And it just filled with family, friends, long-time friends from high school and old teachers who were still at the school. And it was just a great evening. And, of course, my teammates came out and showed some support, too. So
yeah, kind of nice to have Kat and Derek and Jeff and Luol and AT and those guys show up.
Yep, and Taj, too. It was really cool of them. They didn't have to do that. And it was really special. It meant a lot to me, but the kids seeing that, who have never seen, NBA superstars come out to the school. Yeah, I just wanted them to see that, and give them hope and keep that they can attain their dreams and just keep dreaming, keep working, for whatever they want in life, and it will come with hard work.
When you speak to kids and the younger generation who's coming up, do you talk about your journey and how it's been a winding path to get to the NBA?
I don't really try to put myself, involve myself. I just try to, tell them through experiences I have and I've learned, through the years of, my travels with all the teams I've been on and all the experiences I've been through, in the NBA and in overseas, of course, D-League as well. Just, I just want them to do better than I did, and just keep going, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be days where they feel like they can't achieve things, but, in reality they can, it doesn't matter where you are, what's for you will always be for you.
You went on to, after Weston Ranch High School, went on to UC Santa Barbara. Not a big powerhouse as far as basketball goes, but you guys had some guys on that team. Yeah, you played with Allen Williams. You played with Orlando Johnson. You guys all made the NBA.
Yeah, we turned it into that.
A couple of trips to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they hadn't been to the NCAA tournament. Me and Orlando Johnson were the top scoring duo in the country many years. Like, I think maybe 2 years, two out of our 3 years together, we were the top scoring duo, and he had a lot of success. Allen, we had other guys on the team who could have played professional but chose to go a different path. We were a very good mid-major team.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, after that, it's been a long journey. Like I said, you said the D-League, you said overseas.
Yeah.
Does it make you appreciate what you've been through as to where you are now with this team and traveling and playing in the NBA?
Yeah, because, when you work for something, you get attached to it. And I'm attached to it. I'm attached to basketball. That's what I love to do. Playing over, I'll go anywhere to play,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter to me.
Give fans an idea of how crazy things are in Europe. When you're playing for Fenerbahce in Turkey, yeah. Italy before that, uh-huh. I would imagine Turkey. I follow a lot of international, yeah, soccer. I know Fenerbahce and Galatasaray are big rivals, but are the basketball fans just as passionate there?
Oh, I think in Europe basketball fans are more passionate. It's like do or die. Every game means something. Every game is a big game, really. People fighting, people meet up and fight before games, between rival teams. And I remember I was on the free throw line in Italy one time, and they were throwing toilet paper rolls at me while I'm shooting free throws in the game 6-7 of a playoff game. I'm like, wow. And they allow different things, fireworks in the arena, you come out.
The flares with all the colors.
Oh, my God. You hear, you come out of the locker room and the arena is just filled with smoke from cigarettes.
You're thinking, this can't be very good for me.
Yeah, like 25,000 people. I remember at one playoff game. It was crazy in Greece.
Yeah.
Basketball fans in Europe are very passionate. But basketball fans in the U.S. are very passionate as well. But they're just allowed to get away with more there in the arenas. Yeah.
Well, James, great to hear your journey, your stories, and congratulations on the other night. Appreciate the time.
Yep, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was great to see James get some run earlier this week in the Wolves' big win over the Sacramento Kings. Coming up, Cal Soderquist returns to go 3 in the key, but next, Minnesota embracing the season of giving this week. We've got that story for you on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The season is here, and unforgettable experiences are just waiting for you and your group. Catch the pack in action and get in on pregame performances, player high fives, photo ops, and more. Find your experience now at Timberwolves.com/groups. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
WolvesCast continues. John Fokey with you here. And coming up in our final segment, Cal Soderquist will return to go 3 in the key and preview this Wolves road trip. But first, we go off the court with the Minnesota Timberwolves. This week, the Minnesota Timberwolves players and coaches made the holidays a little brighter for a group of kids who were surprised with a holiday shopping spree at Target in Roseville. The Timberwolves Fast Break Foundation, along with the Roger and Nancy McCabe Foundation, teamed up with the United Heroes League to host 14 children from low-income military families who have or have recently had a parent deployed overseas. The day started with the kids joining Crunch for a holiday bus ride, during which time they learned that they would each be getting $500 to spend at Target. Now, if that surprise wasn't enough, when the kids arrived at the store, they were greeted by the Wolves players and coaches who helped them shop. Here's head coach Tom Thibodeau.
They were all excited about it. We had practice today, but they were really looking forward to coming out here and being with the kids and doing this. It's great for everyone.
A couple of the Wolves corporate partners helped to make the day even brighter as TCL donated each child a TV and Fitbit surprised the kids with a Fitbit Ace, both of which went into their carts, which were also loaded with.
I mean, he got a cool TV. He's a Pokemon fan. He loves a Rubik's Cube. Now, I got him a little gift at the end, but we're going to keep that on the low. I got him a little something extra, but he'll see at the end.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot of Pokemon. I used to like Pokemon back in my day, but now there's too much Pokemon to even know of. But he loves Pokemon. He got Pokemon cards. He got action figures. He got the new video game. So he loves it.
He likes dinosaurs, so we got him some Legos, Star Wars, and some other Legos. And then he likes video games as well, so we got a Nintendo Switch and got him a Pokemon game. Had to keep some team spirits. We got him a Timberwolves hat, and I told him he can have everything if he gets a book. So we're about to go look for a book for him to read, and I'm gonna make him give me like an analysis on the book, so it should be fun.
Those were the voices of Derrick Rose, Andrew Wiggins, and Josh Okogie on what they helped their kids pick out during the shopping spree. When the kids checked out, Target also donated $500 each to help their families through the holidays, while Roger and Nancy McCabe gave each family a $500 gas card. In all, it was an incredible day for the kids, their families, as well as Timberwolves players.
I think it's huge, man. The impact is, it makes them speechless. It's making me speechless right now. I know when I was growing up, I know what presents did to me as a kid, so being able to give that back and pay it forward is, like I said, I'm just happy to be a part of it.
And while the kids picked out gifts for themselves, they also made sure to think of others. Here's Robert Covington.
She's definitely having a great time, like you said, but one thing about her is that's very unique is that she's shopping for her family. She's not just thinking about herself. She's thinking about her siblings as well. So, that's something that's rare to find. And, I'm just glad to be a part of it.
You can see video of the Timberwolves annual holiday shopping for kids event put on by the Fast Break Foundation and the Roger and Nancy McCabe Foundation, and learn more at Timberwolves.com. All right, keep it right here. Cal Soderquist is back to go 3 in the key next on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Experience the pack like never before with the official mobile app of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whether you're at home, at Target Center, or anywhere around the globe, the app is your remote control to all things Timberwolves. Head over to the App Store or Google Play to download it now.
Wrapping up Wolves Cast Audio On Demand, John Fokey. Let's welcome Cal Soderquist back to the program. And Cal, Minnesota back out on the road. It's time for 3 in the key. What do you got for us this week?
Well, we'll start with 3 key players, and we start with Paul George of the Thunder. I think, the numbers certainly back it up as well, but even just the eye test for him, both he and Russell Westbrook just seem kind of more comfortable and together this season compared to last season, right? I mean, he's ranked in the top 10 in scoring so far this year. He also has improved his rebounding and assist numbers, and both he and Russ are near the top of the league in terms of their individual net ratings. So they're having an impact on both ends of the floor. I think both those guys playing very well for OKC so far. Second key player, Steven Adams, Oklahoma City Thunder as well. Stevie is exactly that kind of physical big man that can sometimes pose an issue for a guy like Karl Anthony Towns. We've seen LaMarcus Aldridge have some success against Kat, even a guy like Andre Drummond. So Kat will have to be disciplined as far as defending Adams without fouling. And like Kat said earlier this week, he may have to dig back deep into his bag of tricks as far as trying to find offensive success against Steven Adams.
Yeah, and I think both those guys, Paul George and Steven Adams, a big reason why Oklahoma City is sitting with the best defense in the league. And then you sprinkle in, you know, a little bit of Russell Westbrook and the ball hawking ability that he has. That Thunder team defensively is going to be a handful.
That's a great preview. We'll give you just a little bit more on that OKC defense in a second. Third and final key player is Chris Dunn. Obviously, Wolves fans remember him. He's back after missing all that time with the knee sprain for the Bulls, including had a 24-point explosion last weekend in a road win over the San Antonio Spurs. Wolves fans certainly saw the flashes from Chris during his rookie season here, and perhaps now that he's healthy, he can find more consistency with it. Keep an eye on that when Minnesota's in Chicago on Wednesday. Two key stats real quick. We mentioned it and previewed it. The OKC defense, they started their season 0-4, but have been red hot since, and it's thanks to that defensive side of the ball. They have the NBA's best defensive rating. Their opponents are connecting on the third fewest three-pointers per contest as well, and they ranked second in the NBA in deflections. So like you said, kind of creating havoc on that end and forcing tough shots for their opponents. Second key stat, 24.5. That is the average age of the Chicago Bulls roster at the start of this season. 24 and a half years old. They are the second youngest group in the NBA, so that youth movement in Chicago is in full swing, to say the least.
You know, and Minnesota's going to miss out on Zach LaVine. He's dealing with an ankle injury, so he will be out for that game, which is unfortunate because it's always good to see Zach and fun to see him battle a couple of his good buddies and former teammates and Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
And he always gets up for it, too. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll close out with one key matchup. Instead of spotlighting an individual matchup that the Wolves are going to face in this coming week, let's instead, in the spirit of the season, John, let's each of us pick our favorite matchup from the Christmas Day slate of games. It's obviously an NBA tradition, a lot of good matchups to choose from.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. Number one, because I want to see the earned edition uniforms that all the teams are going to be unveiling there. But also the matchup I'm looking for, I got to wait all day for it, but that's fine with me. Portland Trailblazers, Utah Jazz, love divisional matchups. Both these teams, you know, we've already seen Portland twice. We've seen Utah, and obviously Utah struggling. Portland not at the top of their game at the moment either, but I think those two teams have unique matchups individually within there, and anytime you can get a good division game that means a lot in a marquee situation like this, that's what I'm looking forward to.
I like it, and for similar reasons, I like the Philadelphia 76ers visiting the Boston Celtics. Both teams, they're not division rivals, but two teams with a lot of history, and certainly, arguably, the Toronto Raptors may have a say, but two of the very top contenders in that Eastern Conference. Obviously, Jimmy Butler gets up for games like this. We know the Garden will be rocking in Boston, so that one's fun. That's an afternoon tip-off on ABC. I like that neither of us said Lakers-Warriors, which could end up being the best game of the entire day as well.
Yeah, it could, or it might end up being a bust. You never know. But that's certainly one that I feel like everybody's going to be keeping an eye on. That is sort of the marquee game. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of WolvesCast. For Cal Soderquist, I'm John Fokey saying happy holidays. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Timberwolves Radio Network.